Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week we're going to take a look at MLW Fusion 177, still in Tijuana. I mean, what is this, like February 2023? I don't know what's going on here, but we're going to check it out anyway. But first, we got some Fury Road news. Of course, Fury Road is September 3rd at the 2300 Arena, 6 p.m. Or you can get it all on Fight Plus if you got that subscription. We have a couple of more match announcements to be had. First of which is part of the Fusion taping. We have Love Doug taking on Little Guido, which should be a fun little exhibition contest. It's also been announced that Mr. Saint Laurent will be holding the MSL sessions. Guest has not been formally announced. I'd like to fan the rumors that it's probably me. They're probably flying me in to Philly to talk MSL as repayment for having MSL on Confusion a handful of months ago. Look forward to this opportunity. It should be a great, great time for all. It'll be fun for me to take part. It'll be fun for you guys to listen to it, hopefully. But in the meanwhile, in more reality-based news, it also has been announced that Tracy Williams will be taking on number one Ichiban, number six draft pick from this last week's MLW draft. Oh, I just dropped everything and, like, tore my earphones out. Might have ripped my eardrums out as well, so if I sound extra horrible, that's probably it, because we don't do things like edit on this show. What you see, well, what you hear is what you get. Anywho, where was I before things fell off my lap, huh? Let me grab the notes that done fell off my lap. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It is, Fury Road is headlined by, I need the notes for this, headlined for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship as Willie Mack challenges Alex Kane for the World Heavyweight Championship. Matt Cardona takes on Mance Warner in a Kiss My Foot match. What is now being announced as a winner receives a title shot, Maki Ito versus pop superstar Becca in a match that I can't stand any harder for it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking forward to that one. Of course, the announced MSL sessions and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams versus Ichiban. Also announced as part of the Fusion TV tapings, Akira will be taking on Jimmy Lloyd in a street fight. Also scheduled to appear, but not given an official graphic or announcement yet, is the rest of the Beaumaye Fight Club, National Openweight Champion Jacob Fatu, the Tag Team Champions The Calling, Ricky Shane Page and Akira, who did get his own little graphic, the One Called Manders, Snitsky, Matt Stryker, Joe Dombrowski, Mr. Saint Laurent, who is hosting the MSL sessions, and many, many more. There we go. All right. Back to Tijuana we go. Back to, like, February 2023. Getting in my time machine. Headed back there. Back when Hammer had long hair and whatnot. Show starts off with Raven cutting a promo on Jacob Fatu. Notes that Fatu should have joined The Calling, but he didn't. And that's a mistake he is going to have to pay dearly for. We get our introduction. We are in Tijuana. Christian Cole and Joe Dombrowski are on commentary. We are starting the match with a Fatal 4-Way Lucha Rules Tag Team match as Fantastique and Rio Star take on the Lucha Solos versus Los Macizos versus Ecstasies and Anton Carrillo. Yeah, this is going to be fun because I barely have a clue of what any of these guys are. I vaguely remember Los Macizos interfering in the last time they did Tijuana Fusion. So whenever they did that, I vaguely remember them interfering in a match. That was a handful of months ago, too. But I guess it doesn't matter because Lucha Solos just dump everybody outside the ring, dive on top of them. We go to break. So the Solos are taking on Miedo Extremo and get some convoluted offense in. I mean, like, people, like, make fun of American wrestling for, like, you know, the time it takes to set up a spot. And like these guys are just doing rolls arounds and flopping all over each other just to end up like hitting like a face buster. It was weird and crazy. Ecstasy hits a splash off the top rope, only gets two before that's broken up. Anton and Ecstasy, it's their turn to get offense in. Macizos, bring out cookie sheets, and just everybody gets dinked on the head for that. They set up a board outside the ring. Everyone just takes turns getting their stuff in. Bodies are everywhere. The apron, the ring canvas is all tore up, and like commentators even make a comment on that. Rayo Star dives through everyone and the board outside the ring. There's another board on the other side of the ring, and we get a Doomsday Destroyer put through that. Glass panes are introduced, and the luchadors from the back come after Fantastique. There's that gang warfare thing we saw last week, and just nobody has names, and I'm confused as to what's going on. So I really apologize as we go through this. Rio Star springboard moonsaults to the outside, and then one of the solos get power bombed to the floor, well, into the pile of people. Anton Carrillo is powerbombed through the glass inside the ring and takes a high German suplex from one of the Macizos. One, two, three, the match is over. Oh man, that was a car crash. And like, don't get me wrong, it was very entertaining. But as a reviewer, as an internet reviewer, things are a lot more enjoyable when you kind of like know who people are. And I will throw out there that commentary did like an absolute terrible job of like individually identifying any of the luchadors for the most part. Like they kind of referenced it for the most part, kind of like I did. Like if they were a team, like they just kind of went like, oh, Los Macizos, Solo Lucha, Los Lucha Solos, etc. Like occasionally we get like a name in there. Like El Miedo Extremo got thrown out a bit. But yeah, if you were in a team, like you were just in a team, and like nobody referenced who like the gang was. Like they referenced the gang fight between the Mexicalis and the actual, well, quote unquote actual Mexicans, but like didn't name like even like which side those guys were on. So there's just a whole bunch of stuff that like as a reviewer for MLW, like it brings it down a lot. Like as if you're a fan of like hardcore Car Crash Lucha Libre, this was great. But like trying to put it into a classifiable, reviewable chunk of space and time, it's really difficult. And that's something like commentary needs to help out on. And then like my secondary complaint on this, just in general, like I love Lucha Libre, I love the in-ring action like this match contained, but I'm going to get like on my business manager hat here and like I understand independent wrestling is very fluid. People come, people go. But like this match here was an exhibition for a bunch of wrestlers who aren't in your company. There is not one single MLW competitor in that match. And like, why would you do that? Why would you give the spotlight completely to somebody else's workers? I think, yes, I admit like things work well together. You know, we work better when we work together, and the industry as a whole is better. But the commentary didn't put over who these guys were and why we should care about them, and they weren't MLW guys either. So we just, you know, spent like 10 minutes, you know, giving a showcase for guys that we may not see on MLW TV ever again. And we never got a good introduction to them in the first place. So yeah, that was I was kind of like as an MLW fan, it was hard to get up for that match. As a regular wrestling fan who enjoys this stuff, as I said, like it was a lot of fun. But this is a lot of fun without me getting on a microphone and telling you why it was awesome. You know, and one can argue that me neckbearding it up is not helping. But yeah, man, this is what we do. This is what we do here on the con. All right, let's move along from that. Like, yeah, that was really critical for of me. Like, and that's not even, it wasn't even comically critical of me. I was just, dude. But luckily, Love Doug is here to teach me the ways of love. He is backstage with a guitar. He finds Becca's dressing room. He presents her the acoustic guitar. Evidently, it is plucked from the heavens by the cherubs in Hispania. And Becca was not entirely opposed to it. Like, she was kind of impressed. She even agreed to talk with him. Sometime. Not right now, though. Not now. Later. Later. Slammed the door in his face. So, Love Doug is showing us, at least tonight, showing us that with enough love, you can get through anything. However, we still have another half of the show to go through, so we'll see what happens there. We get a view from the inside of a DeLorean with Japan and, like, Worlds Collide and stuff. And, dude, are we getting Kushida? Seriously, like, I'm asking you, are we getting Kushida? Because that would be amazeballs. That would be a big get for MLW, and I know he is splitting his time between Japan and America. Hopefully we got some purse strings, open for that. And heck, maybe he can stay on for a little bit, and that would be awesome as well. All right, so we did that. Let's take a pause for the cause. Maybe we'll come back in a better mood. Watch some more Love, Doug, and fill my heart full. 3 sizes larger than it was before. And I'll catch you all un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. We have the Fury Road Control Center. I won't bog you down with those details because we covered it all at the start of the show, and they didn't offer us anything that we hadn't heard at the top of the hour. We get another outer space promo of Worlds Colliding soon. So that one, I have no clue what we're doing there, unless it's also like a Kushida-esque swerve, bro. We get a backstage promo from Willie Mack. He talks about how Beaumaier is for Alex Kane's people, not just for the people, but specifically Alex Kane's people, and how he's been excluded from like groups his entire life, and is just going to feed him and help him justify all the faith that the fans have put into him over the years. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. Danny Rivera Limelight takes on Alex Hammerstone in his first appearance since dropping the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Limelight Rivera was a former MLW tag team champion, and commentary has barely acknowledged it. They will at various points reference his time in MLW with 5150/ the new LAX, but really they didn't do much to reference that either. He gets on the mic and I roll my eyes because he hasn't gotten any better on the mic, or at least in my humble opinion. I've never been high on his style of promo, which favors profanities heavily. And I know, like, I'm not totally a prude because I love me some blood in wrestling, but like, I feel that, you know, if your public speaking requires a bunch of expletives, that you may not be very creative on that front, and there's a better way of going around this. But that's just me. That's just, again, me being negative and not being down with it. Like, and I have that problem with like a handful of other folks and their promo stylings as well. I'll throw Jacob Fatu under the bus for that. Like, he's a bit more real about things when he does it, but like, I don't know, like, man, if I had a dollar for every time he cursed, I'd be rich enough I wouldn't have to do this podcast, man. So give me a dollar every time Fatu curses and maybe you won't have to deal with me anymore. Wow, I'm even down on myself tonight. Golly gee willikers, man, still no cursing. Limelight, through his profanities, talks about his time in MLW, Conan asking him back, and since he came back, like, he's not going to start at the bottom, he's going to shoot for the top, and that is Alexander Hammerstone, despite not having the title, and being ranked, like, number 4 in the MLW rankings. Before Hammerstone gets to the ring, though, we have a status feed thing going on here, and I've just like jumped in through like a lot of stuff, and like jumped into the main event for like no good reason. But anyway, we'll go with it because that's the mood we're doing today. The Calling are here, referencing the beating they put on Lance Anoa'i and Juicy Finau. They're hungry. They would like some steak. Trust in Raven to get him some steak. And Dr. Cornwallis prepares a steak with the blowtorch. Criminally underdone. I got that, man, I can still hear it. I don't say oos, I guess. They really kind of implied that that piece of steak was Lance Anoa'i. And like they never come out and say it, so there's always room for him to come back. But they just kind of implied that he was killed off, which I kind of wondered with the beating of the SST if that was their way to write off the SWAT team for at least the near, maybe far future as well. But yeah, like so they just we may have some cannibalism too. Like we're just, why not? Like, just go crazy on this thing, man. That's where we're at. And I wish I was drunk. I wish I do. But yeah, so this is going on somewhere in this craziness too. I'm going to backtrack because I did miss some things. Like skipped because I was just so down on the Fury Road control center thing. We did have a promo. Speaking of Lance Anoa'i, Fatu is upset over the beating and potential like future eating of his cousin. Terry thinks up in an alley. The body count is just starting, man. We also have the Second Gear crew hanging out. Manders wants to go back to the States, and Mance is like, no, we've drank everywhere. It's more fun to have. Oh, look, here's Microman. So at least we have Microman to save the day. I say though, of course, let Manders come back to America. Well, don't really let him do that. Just let him stay down. The rest of y'all can come back. But again, going back to it, hear me out. Replace Manders with Microman, and that is just a license to print money. There, said it again. Let's go back to ringside. Cut back to ringside. We just totally skip over Alex Hammerstone's entrance, which I'm going to go out on a limb and assume it's because he come out with the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Because Lord knows he come out with long hair, and if y'all remember correctly, when he was choked out by Alex Kane, he got himself a haircut. So yeah, we are really, skimming some things here. Rivera attacks Hammer from behind before the bell can even finish ringing. Hammer, though, is much too big and tosses him around the ring from pillar to post. Get a Northern Lights suplex attempt by Hammer, but he misses a corner charge, allowing Rivera to work over the leg. We go to break, and when we come back, Rivera is still continuing the assault on Hammerstone's leg. We get a slingshot somersault senton to the leg specifically. However, Hammer does try to mount a comeback, launches a gorilla press into a swinging uranage side slam, but in the process he hurts that leg, which I was really worried he wasn't going to sell it, and I was going to be even more disgruntled with life. But that filled up the cockles of my heart a wee bit on that one. However, we still get the one-legged comeback attempt from Hammer, ending with a power slam for two. Rivera fights out of the Nightmare Pendulum before hitting a twisting dive outside the ring. Inside the ring, Rivera hits a frog splash for a two count. Hammer hits a helicopter spinny face plant that looked nifty, and I've seen him pull it out a couple of times. I just never remember what it's called. Rivera rolls through a Nightmare Pendulum attempt into the half crab. Obviously, it's not Lance Storm, so the match has to continue. Hammer fights out of the crab but eats a penalty kick for his efforts. Rivera runs to the ropes and goes for his leaping tornado DDT, but Hammer catches him in an impressive feat of strength, I will admit, hoists him up for the Nightmare Pendulum to get the win. Big comeback for Alex Hammerstone. Solid match overall. I just really wish that they didn't treat Limelight slash Rivera as kind of an afterthought in all this. I mean, they did what they could to kind of like try to build him back without referencing his past MLW work for whatever reason. So I'm confused why they didn't do that, but they talked about how he's put on some muscle mass, and has been working hard outside of the ring. But it's a perfectly servable match. At least this one had at least one MLW guy in it and a former MLW guy in it. I just kind of like really hated the fact that they had to cover for Hammer bringing the belt to the ring and being champion, and then they, you know, just ignored him having long hair and the continuity errors in that. But the show's not over yet. We get some news for next week. We will see Jacob Fatu versus Ricky Shane Page for the National Openweight Championship, and we will see the Opera Cup Finals as Davey Boy Smith Jr. takes on Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. So it looks like we are back in the USA next week, and we get some Opera Cup highlights to end the show. So that's the end of Fusion this week. And like, you guys know that a lot of times I joke about the things I dislike, and like really do try to put like a positive spin on things, because I'm a firm believer of if you're not enjoying watching something, don't do it, man. And yes, like usually I enjoy MLW, and usually like I do try to put a positive spin on what I see. So like, even if it's not the best episode, like, oh yeah, it was all right, you should check it out just to keep things going. Like, there wasn't a whole lot to keep things going for this episode. Like, this was scraping the bottom of the barrel of old footage. And it really, like, hurt me, like, as a fan. Like, insulted my intelligence to, like, bring out Hammer. Especially after he cut his hair, man. Like, he got a haircut prior to his match with Alex Kane. And now we're seeing old Hammer. And then just, you know, again, the extra highlight on non-MLW personnel. There really wasn't a whole lot of progression backstage storyline wise. Like, they didn't like reference like really much of anything moving forward outside of some of the same beats that they had for like Willie Mack versus Alex Kane. But like, the Second Gear crew, like, that's one of the reasons like I think I skipped over it, is because subconsciously it didn't add anything. And it's not even just my, you know, my faux hatred of Manders. Like, you know, they didn't even really reference Matt Cardona. They just made some jokes about drinking everywhere and being a team, and brought in Microman, which did, you know, bring me up a little bit. And other than that, like, WTF is going on with like the Lance Anoa'i thing. Like, they really did like heavily imply that they were eating Lance Anoa'i as well. So I really have no clue what's going on. That being said, like, it's gonna be a rare dead for me, man. Like, if you know, don't have time to watch this week, you're not missing a whole lot, really. I mean, yeah, there's some lucha action, so if you're into the luchas, you can catch it. But if you're in it for the storyline progression of MLW, wasn't a whole lot to be had this week, man. Hate to tell you to move on, because I'm a big fan of MLW. Obviously, I've done this podcast for, like, nearly 4 years now. But, yeah, it was a dud. Like, an utter dud. I left a bad taste in the rest of the UWN guys' mouth, because we've been chatting about that before I hopped on the mic here. But before, you know, I get, like, really down in the dumps about everything, because, like, you know, nobody really wants to listen to a podcast, like, blather on and complain for 20 minutes, so we'll just end it on a high note. You know, if you haven't yet, check out my interview with Crowbar. That was a lot of fun. It was an honor to have him on the show. Of course, head over to YouTube at UrbanWrestleNW for our takes on the current goings on of MLW Fusion and some of the backstage news that comes off of that. We've been trying to break them down into smaller chunks a couple days a week, so it's a little bit more time manageable for everyone. And I, you know, despite the complaints, I appreciate you guys sticking through it. You know, stay tuned for the best ways to help support this here tiny podcast, and, you know, maybe I'll feel better about life next week or something of the like. In the meanwhile, though, thank you guys. I do actually appreciate it, especially on days like today where I'm really negative about stuff. In the meanwhile, though, I'll catch you all next week.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, because word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor below, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass. That's THENOVAOFCASS. And MLW Confusion can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova. That's CASSONOVA. If you prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1, Patreon backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn and Alan Schroeder and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merchandise at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. You can find that link below as well. For all business inquiries such as ads, sponsorship, and other voiceover work, please email at rzkammer@comcast.net. Kammer is spelled K-A-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you all for listening.